Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. Tonight, we are going to take a look at MLW Fusion Alpha number 13 middleweight championship action, but of course, first, the news. Biggest thing out of the MLW Newswire this week is the upcoming debut of Miranda Gordy. She is the next generation Freebird, the daughter of Terry Bam Bam Gordy, looking to bring her brand of Bad Street to MLW, looking to make her debut in Dallas at Blood and Thunder January 21st. So, the irony, Freebird coming back to Dallas to make their debut, should be interesting. Gordy is relatively new to the independent scene. There we go. Slow down, Rob. Maybe you'll get something right. Fairly new to the independent scene. She's a 3-year young veteran. She is threatening to make a statement in MLW, bringing her own brand of brawling powerhouse grappling skills to the featherweight division, adding another dimension to an already stacked division. All right, news out of the way, we are going to take a look at MLW Fusion Alpha number 13. Again, main event is for the MLW Middleweight Championship, Yoshihiro Tajiri versus Atsuki Ayagi. I hope I pronounced the last name right. I tried to approximate what Rich and Joe Dombrowski were saying throughout the episode, but you know, sometimes pronunciations aren't always my strong suit. But anyway, never mind that. Let's have shows, shall we? Anyway, we're going to start off the show with a promo from 5150. They're focused, they are hungrier than their competition, and they're ready for CSR Duran to bring teams on to prove that they are the best. We get some breakaways with Slice Boogie talking about how gangsters don't get to survive the streets, they don't get to retire, they don't get to go legit. Well, these guys, they went legit. They're not going back. Rivera didn't forget where they come from. Didn't forget how hungry they used to be, even now as they're getting fed, you know, doing it for the gente. Promo went entirely too long. You know, it's like listening to this podcast. It just kind of gets repetitive after a while, you know what I mean? They kind of said what they needed to say in the first sentence, and then just kept going on and on for a bit. So really, like, the best bit was done by Conan, which I can make jokes about how Conan's lost a step and likes to go on the greatest hits. But really, like, he is the strongest talker of the group. And once again, he kind of, you know, proved it this time around, too. Though I will acknowledge my disappointment that we didn't get more Dr. Julius Smokes, just because, honestly, he thoroughly entertains me with his offbeat brand of buffoonery. Anywho, moving on to the main part of the show, we are joined by Rich Bocchini, Joe Dombrowski, putting for the show's even started proper. We got the main event for the middleweight championship, but first it looks like we are going to have the featherweights in action. It is Holodead with the Doctor of Jobology, Dr. Dax, taking on Willow Nightingale. But before we get started that match, we get what starts out as a picture-in-picture before becoming the main screen. Holodead talking about the demons inside her head, smiling away, and she's going to bring the darkness to Willow Nightingale. After Holodead kind of dances macabre, we get Willow coming down to the ring, and she's like, nah, you got someone, I need someone too, I need some backup, and she brings out local Philly legend, a master of jobology himself, the Blue Meanie. Half-kidding, Meanie, I love you, I actually am a huge fan of the BWO, so, you know, take that in jest, but Blue Meanie comes out. He is being the bodyguard for Willow to hopefully counteract the nefarious Dr. Dax should he get involved in the match. Match tries to start briefly with some elbow strikes. Willow maintains his control until she goes to the middle rope, and Dr. Dax grabs her ankle, offering the distraction. Don't know where the Blue Meanie is on that one. I guess he's outside telling the ref that Willow's having her ankle grabbed. Oh, pro wrestling tropes, how we miss you. Anywho, this allows Holodead to take over on offense for a bit. Lots of clubbing blows, forearms, leg drops, even a leg drop on the ring apron itself, the hardest part of the ring, in case you've forgotten. Holiday goes for her double underhook finish. Willow escapes that, though. Hits a front drop kick on Dr. Jax on the apron. Willow takes out Holiday as well. Unfortunately, before she can get too far into this process, we get a ref bump. Ref's down because he's totally biased. Dax breaks free of his chains, enters the ring, and starts choking Willow. Blue Meanie finally does something, finally making the save. We get some tandem action between Meanie and Willow, some punches and a big elbow drop with some dancing. Then out of nowhere, a wild Ares appears, takes out the Blue Meanie, distracts Willow. This allows some interaction, I guess we'll call it interaction, some counters between Willow and Holiday before Holiday hits her variation of the Angel's Wings. Referee is finally awake and hits the mat three times. That's how you tell the match is over. Referee hits the mat three times. 1, 2, 3. Match is over. Your winner, Holiday. Once again, Holiday getting a one-up on Willow in this feud. I'm really hoping this isn't a feud ender, because despite the talent of all people involved in this match, it really didn't get out of first gear. Even the wife, who I watched it with when I'm not in character of being a 35-year-old man in the basement, was watching it with me, and she's kind of like, hey, what's going on here? And I'm like, I don't know. These two are usually pretty good. So I'm not sure what's going on, if there's just lack of chemistry or just an off night, or there's just too much shenanigans really to get any momentum going. But hoping this isn't the feud ender between Willow and Holiday, because I feel like there's a whole lot more to give and there's a whole lot of territory to explore within this feud and the whole, like, you know, taking Willow down the path of darkness. Anyway, so that is our opening bout, featherweight action. Gonna move on, see what's going on backstage. 5150 is hanging out with Cesar Duran. Well, more like Cesar's doing stuff, and 5150 shows up. They want to pour one out for LA Park and everyone who, you know, cares about those parks. And like, El Jefe's like, nah, man, you pour one out for El Jefe. And so they're all excited. They joke around for a bit, talk about it's going to be a party. You know, let's play some dominoes. Let's shoot some dice. Let's play cards. El Jefe, Cesar, goes into his coat jacket. Everyone freaks out because they're worried he's packing. Well, he certainly is packing, and that is a deck of cards. Once again, celebration ensues. The peasants rejoice. Moving on. We move on to Hawaii, where Marshall Von Erich is testing his hand-eye coordination by playing Pac-Man. Brother Ross shows up, announces that they've gotten their contracts for Dallas. And so this is the first time a Von Erich has gotten a world heavyweight title opportunity in over 20 years. I think it's actually like close to 40 at this point. For this, like, the first Dallas title opportunity in 40 years by Von Erich. They are getting a shot at the World Tag Team Championships, currently held by 5150, if you haven't figured that out by this point. Going along into this, as I said, in January 21st, it's MLW Blood and Thunder in Dallas, Texas. But before that, we have the big debut of MLW's Lucha Libre Excursion, MLW Azteca, the Maxi, you know, the Maxi series, because I guess it's, you know, it hasn't started, it has an end date, and it's not quite going to be a mini series, but, you know, it's going to be series nonetheless. Starts January 6th, and then, of course, the Blood and Thunder TV tapings a couple of weeks after that, featuring a handful of new signees and some big returns, such as the Von Erich brothers. All right, we're going to move on to our second match of the evening. It is Homicide versus LA Park. This match has surprisingly little history to it. This match has come about because of last week's match between 5150 and Los Parks for the Tag Team Championships. LA Park tries to pull the old switcheroo underneath the ring. Works for a little bit, but then Homicide appears and reveals the rouge, and they have sprawl to the back. So this is part of the fallout from last week's shenanigans during the World Tag Team title match. Both these gentlemen, like day one MLW originals, really, LA Park and Homicide during debuted during like the initial stages of MLW back in 2002-2003. And Rich Bocchini pulls out an interesting statistic, is that they both made their debuts against Jerry Lynn, of all people. And I should say of all people. I mean, obviously, he's a fine wrestler, world traveler. It's just kind of interesting to see, you know, two men who's been around for a very long time, and their debut match was with Jerry Lynn. So that's all cool, but they've never actually interacted up until last week, and this is their first one-on-one match against each other. So kind of like an interesting tidbit in MLW history right there. It's really hard to see two guys that have been with the company for that long, or in and out of the company for that long, and really haven't interacted all that much. I mean, granted, MLW went on hiatus for over a decade, but still, like, they've both, you know, LA Park has been a huge part of MLW in the beginning and since its restart, and of course, Homicide's been around the block, you know, 18 different times. But that rant aside, let's go into the match, Sowie. We're going to start off with we'll call it a popularity battle. Like, they like, lock arms, like, and around the waist, and, like, walk to different sides of the ring, listening to the crowd. You know, the whole Hulk Hogan, like, ear cusp thing. Before things, like, break down, we get a shove, get some fighting back and forth. LA Park is sent to the outside, where we get a suicide con hilo, suicide dive, full flip rotation with it. Why not? Because, you know, first real move of the match, let's just go cray. Homicide goes for another dive, but LA Park catches him, tosses him up a little bit, like, not a full pop up, per se, but just enough to get him on his feet, get Homicide on his feet, and just drops him with a headbutt. Homicide is sent outside of the ring. The chairman of WCW gets himself a chair, takes out Homicide with it, opens it up, sets Homicide down. It's a big crossbody over the top rope of his own. Say what you want about LA Park, but he's still got some moves for a man his age and his size. Comes in the ring, but only gets a two count. Homicide comes back, hits a DDT for two, follows it up with an exploder suplex, also for two. My notes have gone to pure scribble at this point, but we do get some back and forth action despite what my notes say, with Homicide hitting the cutter for two, but this leads to a spear from out of nowhere. Must have been, you know, hanging out with Randy Orton and whatnot. So we got a spear out of nowhere. Unfortunately, in this situation, the spear is the dreaded finisher from LA Park. So 1, 2, 3, match is over. Your winner, LA Park. All right, we are going to take a pause for the cause. Take a listen to the people who pay me the big bucks to do whatever. I'll catch you all here in a momento. Now, whether you're someone who works out, or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com. And while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS, that's C-A-S-S, at checkout for 15% off your order. All right, we are back. We get a medical update on Casey Navarro. For those of you who have forgotten, last week during the debut of Enzo, he didn't take too kindly to Mr. Navarro giving him the stink eye as he was walking down the ramp. So he attacks Mr. Navarro, gives him a crucifix bomb into the ring post, gives Casey Navarro a neck fracture, may or may not be needing surgery, but the doctors are very optimistic that no permanent damage is being done, and it's just a pretty simple fracture. I mean, if fractures can be simple anyway. So he'll be out for quite some time, thanks to Enzo. Following this, we get an all-axis with EJ Nduka, the judge. The judge kind of gives us his background in sports, growing up, and the drive that it gave him, being a three-sport athlete in high school, and then moving on to the college ranks. That was really kind of a career highlight for him, but really taught him the meaning of discipline, drive, and desire. So hopefully we'll get to see the judge more in action, because we really haven't seen that much of him, though obviously what we've seen, he's been pretty dominant. But in the meanwhile, well, we get this taste from his past. Following this, we get footage of Yoshihiro Tajiri winning the MLW Middleweight Championship in a fatal four-way involving champion Myron Reed, Ares, and yeah... I've totally brain farted on that one. But it was a solid match nonetheless. But really, it came down to Tajiri and Myron Reed. We get the blinding green mist and the roundhouse kick. The greatest hits. Tajiri is your new champion. Up next, we get a hype video for the debuting Roxy, formerly of Ring of Honor, former women's champion in Ring of Honor. She is making her debut at Blood and Thunder. And actually, despite what... it's not being announced in the in-betweens of the news ranks. She will be taking on Miranda Gordy in, well, it'll be both their debuts matches. So a solid affair coming out of those debuts, Roxy versus Miranda Gordy. Except, you know, Miranda Gordy made the news, whereas Roxy got her own hype package. So, you know, it's about even. We'll see what happens from there. All right, from here we get a little hype package for Charlie Brazees, a little known name. Well, I mean, I guess if you really dig your ECW history, you know the name. But Charlie Brazees was and is a cameraman and editor, probably best known for his work in ECW. He was kind of Paul Heyman's right-hand man when it come to the filming and editing of the television show. And once ECW folded, Court Bauer came in and invited him to join the original incarnation of MLW, and Charlie's kind of still with the company to this day. Just a little known fact that I could be making up, but I'm almost positive he is in at least one of the old ECW games, one of the old acclaimed ECW games. That's just, we never really realized it, because they never really talked about too many of the backstage folk, and they just threw him and, like, Ron Artiz and whatnot into the game for fun. But the reason they've done this is not just, like, something totally random, but to Charlie's surprise, he's being added to the ECW arena, the 2300 arena's Hardcore Hall of Fame, so he will join the likes of your Public Enemy, your Sandmans, your Sabus, and entering the Hall of Fame. So it's kind of nifty to see a man behind the scenes who doesn't have like the name value of your Todd Gordons and your Paul Heymans, to kind of get his due especially in the case of ECW, really kind of changing how things are done with the editing and with the camera work, because they were really kind of ahead of the curve and doing some creative video work, especially when it come with like, how promos were filmed as well. So congratulations, Charlie. You've earned it for 30 years of, you know, absolutely stellar work. Following this, we get the announcement that Calvin Tankman has been arrested for his assault on Mr. Thomas of the Beaumier Fake Club. Last week, Tankman just nailed Mr. Thomas with a gnarly forearm that, you know, I found to be hilarious. But, you know, you can check out that laughter at last week's episode. So he's been arrested for assault. Who knows how long he'll be in jail. We have another press conference with Alex Kane with Mr. Thomas. While Tankman is in jail, Kane is going to build himself up a kingdom. People are going to be yelling, Boma, yay. Mr. Thomas is going to have a massive headache. Next, we get a video package hyping up the return of Pagano. No date listed, but we'll find out soon enough that he'll be part of the MLW Azteca program. Following and a continuance, if you will, of the Calvin Tankman situation, we get a phone call from jail with Calvin Tankman. He's been thinking long and hard about what happened, and he is totally going to get his hands on Mr. Thomas and Alex Kane. We get the announcement that someone has posted his bail, so Tankman will be out sooner than later. To go along with our announcement of Pagano, looks like our first match announced for MLW Azteca on January 6th is going to be a tag team match between Mil Muertes and the Black Taurus, taking on Pagano and your MLW World Heavyweight Champion, Alexander Hammerstone. All right, it is time for the main event. It's the MLW Middleweight Championship. Yoshihiro Tajiri taking on Atsuki Aoyagami. Wow, I butchered that. But, you know, Aoyagi, there we go. I scribbled the wrong name down. Aoyagi. Oh, it's been a good day, Tater. So, main event. I've already ruined it, of course. Tajiri versus Aoyagi for the MLW Middleweight Heavyweight Championship. World Tag Team Champions. I don't know. World Tag Team Champions. Give the title to Andre. Anyway, so, these two have a little bit of history. Commentary points out that they have faced each other in the past, with Aoyagi actually getting a pinfall victory over Tajiri. Aoyagi is kind of one of the primary young lions to come out of All Japan Pro Wrestling, where Tajiri calls his home when he's not in America. This is also the first time an MLW championship has been defended on Japanese soil in like 18 years, when Satoshi Kojima defended the World Heavyweight Championship in All Japan Pro Wrestling as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of history between MLW and All Japan as well. But the match starts off slowly-ish. You know, we get some training out, we get some feeling up, trading holes, see what's going on. Aoyagi tries to speed things up, but Tajiri's like, nah, son, you're going to get a neck breaker. So he got a neck breaker. And another neck breaker, too, just for good measure. Really kind of working over the upper body and the neck area of Aoyagi. Really cinching in a rear chin lock. But before we go to a commercial break, Aoyagi counters out of a sleeper hold attempt into a back suplex. Though, when we come back from break, everybody's on the ground. Both get up rather slightly gingerly, going to trade some strikes, going back and forth. Great fire out of the young lion, Aoyagi. They start trading, you know, chops, punches, and whatnot. Aoyagi takes the advantage briefly. He goes for a handspring elbow drops, but Tajiri just kind of pushes him off, but takes some damage in the process as well. The momentum sends him outside the ring. Aoyagi hits a moonsault to the outside. Inside the ring, we get a front drop kick and then a standing moonsault 4-2. Things are starting to pick up here. We go for another moonsault attempt. He misses, kind of rolls through, but gets caught into Jiri's tarantula. There are way too many T's, and I'm getting way too excited about the speed picking up here. Another handspring attempt by Aoyagi. Gets a 2-count out of it, off a big kick in the process. Goes for another moonsault, misses, blocks a buzzsaw kick though, so luckily he blocked that, because that is Tajiri's go-to in and of himself. Scores a big kick, another big kick really, but maybe this time this is not a handspring variety for 2. Goes up top again, misses the 450. Tajiri goes for a magistral cradle, but that gets countered by Aoyagi. Pile driver by Tajiri gets 2, but the pile driver left Aoyagi pretty dazed. Tajiri hits the buzzsaw kick, 1-2-3, still your middleweight champion, Yoshihiro Tajiri. And this was a very solid match between, you know, kind of the old guard of All Japan and the young lion of All Japan as well. So a solid match. I mean, I'm going to assume Aoyagi's had better matches. I know Tajiri's had better matches, but it was a solid story overall. Though, I kind of wish commentary would reference, like, how many times Aoyagi would just go to the top rope and how little he actually hit those moves, just to really put over that, you know, it's youth versus wisdom. Because, like, that story is, you know, a good story to be told, and I don't think they really put over that story while it was happening. But otherwise, I mean, it's a solid match. I don't know if I would consider it a main event worthy match, but really, overall, when you add that in with the historical significance of it, you know, it was a good match to have to end your show with. Though, it's not technically ending the show, because we're going to see Cesar Duran walking around backstage. He meets up with Richard Holiday, who is with Alicia Toot. I wonder what they're up to. Anyway, Holiday is all into NFTs now. oh, Cesar doesn't even know what they are. He's just like, go talk to my business manager. Bud Heavy. Yeah, Bud Heavy, local favorite. He's my business manager. Go talk to him about it. Cesar takes off walking again, tries to get out of the arena. He's stopped by Gnarls Garvin. Gnarls is angry. He's just wanting to fight. Cesar appreciates it, but not now, bro. He tries to leave again, and this time gets caught by ya boy, Alexander Hammerstone. Hammer pins him up against the wall, just lets him know that, you know, he shouldn't be double-crossed. And, you know, if you double-cross Hammer again, bad things are going to happen, and it's not going to end well. So, that is how we're going to end our show this week, ladies and gentlemen. Three matches, three wildly different affairs, featherweight action, a wild brawl between two MLW originals, and then, of course, our main event in the world of All Japan Professional Wrestling. And, I mean, it was a decent enough show, but, you know, it was kind of a letdown after last week where we got some really solid action. I mean, just kind of focusing on the negatives, like, really, like, the featherweight match really never got out of first gear. Really, I think the second match of the evening, Homicide versus Park, would have been the match of the night, and probably should have ended the show and just kind of, like, focused on the history between the two gentlemen, in addition to what's going on between their factions right now. And not to say that, you know, Tajiri versus Ayagi wasn't a good match, but I just don't think it was a main event match outside of the fact they were hyping that the MLW Middleweight Championship was being defended in Japan, which, of course, is a major accomplishment in and of itself. I mean, that's how you make your primary title a world title, is by defending it around the world. You know, this is making the Middleweight Championship a world title in its own right. So, you know, there is some significance there that, once again, like, they just didn't play up on or didn't really play into. Like, yeah, they made it a big deal that the title was being defended, but they didn't really talk about how that gave the title that much more prestige. Anyway, so it was a solid show overall, but didn't have the bang last week's show did, which, you know, you can't be ramping things up all the time, because, you know, where do you go once you're at the top? But that being said, you know, still, like, nowhere near a bad show overall. Did continue to enjoy it. Interested to see where we're going with the MLW Azteca program, where we're going with Hammer and Cesar Duran, and, of course, we got the Blue Meanie, so obviously, that's a win in and of itself. Anywho, show's over. At least that show's over, which means we should wind down this show. Thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for the plugs and all that good stuff that I have on at the end, and checking out your local indie artists. In the meanwhile, I will catch you all next week. Thank you for listening to MLW Confusion. MLW Confusion is written and narrated by Rob Kammer, but is not affiliated with Major League Wrestling. The opening theme is written and performed by Rob Kammer, and what you are listening to right now is Ruined My Day by Alan L. Schroeder. If you enjoyed the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Also, be sure to tell your friends, family, and enemies about the show. Word of mouth is very important to us small businesses. You can also get up to date with the thoughts and ramblings at the social media at the links in the description. If you'd like to support monetarily and help out, and to upgrade our equipment too, by the way, you can in the following ways. First, our virtual tip jar is at www.ko-fi.com/casanova. That is CASSONOVA. Or, for more bang for your buck, join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/casanova. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to MLW Confusion early and ad-free, plus get weekly exclusive goodies. So be like the OGs, Maverick45 and Alan Schroeder, and check that out! Also, for your energy, sleep, and workout needs, check out repsports.com and use the coupon code CASS at checkout to get 15% off your order.